David's going to come and bring us our reading this morning.
The reading comes from Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Well, good morning to those in the room and those of you who are at home. As Matt's already said, today is World Mental Health Day. And so what is World Mental Health Day all about? It comes from the World Health Organization. And the aim really is to raise awareness about mental health and mental health around the world, not just in one particular country. And to give people the opportunity to talk about their work in this area. So we're looking at mental health today. Although it's about the world and mental health, I'm focusing particularly on the UK because this subject is very, very big. And it just helps to focus down, particularly something closer to home. So I wonder, when it comes to your physical health, how many of you at some point thought that you would go through life, the whole of life, being physically healthy all of the time? You'd never have a cough. You'd never have a cold. You'd never need to see the doctor. You'd never need to wear glasses. Ever. You know, sometimes when we're young, we think we're fit and healthy, and we are going to be healthy forever. But it's unrealistic, isn't it, to think that way? And yet, when it comes to our mental health, do we expect to go through the whole of our life without any mental health problems? Is that a realistic expectation? Is it realistic? So I'm going to look at some statistics, some things about mental health in this country. We are fortunate, we're actually in a country where we do have some statistics to work on. Of course, in many countries, there is no information at all about the state of the mental health of people in those countries. So I'm going to start with some information that comes from the charity Mind, and I'm starting with what they put at the end, which is the health warning on the figures. This is based on a 2014 survey they did, and it said they only looked at people aged 16 and over, those who lived in private housing. It's only those living in England, So it excludes a lot of people. And they give some examples: people in hospitals, people in prisons, people in sheltered housings, those who are homeless or rough sleeping. So the numbers here are probably in reality higher than these. That's what they want us to understand. So how common are mental health problems? Well, 1 in 4 people experience a mental health problem of some kind each year in England. And 1 in 6 people report experiencing a common mental health problem like anxiety or depression in any given week. 1 in 6. So if you're in the room, you can just look around and think, if we're representative of the general population, every 6th person that you look at this week has probably experienced a common mental health problem. It's far more common than we might think. So here are some more sobering statistics from the survey. And this relates to suicide and self-harm. These aren't mental health diagnoses, but they are related to mental health. And here are the statistics. So over the course of someone's lifetime, 1 in 5 people have suicidal thoughts. 1 in 14 self-harm, and 1 in 15 people in their lifetime will attempt suicide. Women are more likely to have suicidal thoughts and make suicide attempts than men, but men are 3 times more likely to take their own life than women. So that's 1 in 15 people in their lifetime will attempt suicide. That is probably a much higher figure than you ever thought. So there are some kind of sobering statistics to begin with. So next, I've got some information from a report that was produced by the Mental Health Policy Group, which is a coalition, an umbrella organisation, which includes a number of other organisations, including MIND and the Royal College of Psychiatrists. And they produced this report for the last election. And it was entitled, Improving England's Mental Health, the first 100 days and beyond. And what it says was this: we cannot afford not to act. Poor mental health carries an economic and social cost of £105 billion a year in England. The business cost of mental health among the UK workforce is thought to be £26 billion a year. Really big numbers. And they go on. Over the last parliament, demand has grown rapidly. Referrals to community health mental health teams have risen nearly 20%, and by 2030, there will be approximately 2 million more adults in the UK with mental health problems than there are today. Now, when you see figures about the increase, your thoughts might go to, why are the numbers increasing? And I'll come on to that a bit later and just mention something. But this report also continues with this. During the last parliament, funding for mental health services was not protected. Budgets for mental health trusts were cut in real terms by 8.25%, by almost 600 million. So you see the picture. Demand is increasing, and yet provision is reducing. So what happens in those kind of situations? Well, here's one of the things that can happen to some people who are suffering from mental health problems. And this comes from crisis. Poor mental health is both a cause and a consequence of homelessness. The onset of mental illness can trigger or be part of a series of events that can lead to homelessness. Additionally, mental health issues might well be exacerbated or caused by the stresses associated with being homeless. And it goes on. A report for Crisis found that homeless people were nearly twice as likely to have experienced mental health problems as the general population. The rate of psychosis was 4 to 15 times as prevalent as in the general population. But the same research shows that as a person's housing becomes more stable, the rate of serious mental illness decreases. A lot of people who are on our streets are suffering from mental health problems. So the situation for people who are suffering from mental health problems is potentially quite bleak. But here's something that caught my attention in the news a few weeks ago. And this is a headline from the Independent. Tasers need greater scrutiny amid disproportionate use against black people, police watchdog says. Now, this headline is quite shocking, because you notice here there's no mention of people with mental health problems. But when you actually read the article that it relates to and the report that was produced, it actually includes people with mental health problems. People with mental health problems are disproportionately tasered by the police. Now, that article was in May 2020. So you'd think after the police watchdog had said this, things might improve. And here's an article. This is the one that caught my attention in August this year. New training needed for police after children and mentally ill people tasered, watchdog warns. And you might not be able to see the small print there. Police suspected people, including three who died, were feigning being unwell. And the watchdog's report says that mentally ill people are more likely to be tasered by the police and tasered for longer than other people. So what else can happen to people who are suffering from mental health problems? Well, here's something from the Prison Reform Trust. They say it's difficult to think of anywhere more likely to make the mentally ill worse and drive some people to despair than the bleak, impersonal environment of an overcrowded prison. Last year, 92 people committed suicide in prison, and over 20,000 harmed themselves repeatedly. And this is part of the cost then that was referred to earlier. Every time there's a suicide in prison, there has to be an inquest. And inquests are hugely, unbelievably expensive and time-consuming. The Prison Reform Trust also goes on to quote this. In her recent review of mental health in prisons, the Chief Inspector of Prisons, Anne Owers, concluded that prison has become, to far too large an extent, the default setting for those with a wide range of mental and emotional disorders. And the Prison Reform Trust says this, some mental health experts believe that under-resourcing of health reforms in the late 80s and early 90s has contributed to the rapid rise in prison numbers. The prison population has soared from just under 45,000 in 1990 to almost 83,000 today. An estimated 5,000 people at any one time are thought to be too ill to be in prison. So this is a pretty bleak picture of mental health in this country. But there's one more article that caught my eye, which was this week in the Daily Express. And this article is about a speech that was made by one of the ministers for work and pensions at a fringe meeting at the Conservative Party conference this week. And it was in relation to PIP, which is personal independent payments. And the Daily Express explain here what PIP is. It's intended to help with extra living costs for those who are living with a long-term physical or mental condition or disability. People will be eligible if they have difficulty doing certain everyday tasks or in getting out and about because of their condition. And if you know anything about the process of PIP, you'll know that to have a successful claim, you have to provide lots of evidence from doctors and social care workers and the like in order to get a successful claim. But here's what the Minister Theresa Coffey said at the conference that was reported by the Daily Express. She said, PIP has certainly grown in a way that was not anticipated when it was introduced. As a former civil servant, allow me to translate for you. PIP is costing us too much. She goes on to say, she was very conscious that 3 in 4 of those younger people who claim PIP have the primary reason of poor mental health for a claim. Translation, here's a group we can look to remove from this system completely and save money. And then she says, I think by being able to target that even more so to people who really need that support may improve that prospect of public perception. This won't lose us any votes. So that's what's happening in the world of mental health in this country. And you notice there she said 3 in 4 of younger people claiming PIP. And this goes back to what I said earlier. You may wonder why mental health problems are on the increase. And you can read in some places, you know, that this is due to the what's referred to sometimes as the snowflake generation. These people are just, you know, these young people, they're just too wimpy, basically, to get on with life. But the reality is, as I've read a lot in preparation for this, there is a lot of medical research going on, and some of the places it's leading is quite interesting. So I read an article about your second brain. I don't know if you realise that you had a second brain or where your second brain might be. But medical researchers are referring increasingly to our guts as our second brain, because medical research has discovered that what goes on in our gut and the bacteria particularly that lives in our gut affects our brains. And there have been massive changes, unbelievably massive changes, in the last 50 years to our guts. And they are now looking at why that is and what the effect might be on our brains. And of course, a lot of the suggestions and avenues for research they're looking at, not surprisingly, is related to human activity. Use of pesticides, use of plastics, which we now know end up in our stomachs and in other parts of our bodies, and what that might actually be doing to us. So don't jump to the conclusion that numbers are rising just because we've got a generation of softies coming up. So that's the picture in this country. So what is our response to that as Christians? So I want to start here in this particular place. And you remember, it's recorded in the Gospels how an expert in the law comes to Jesus and asks him, what is the greatest commandment? And the expert in the law replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus replies effectively, good answer. But the expert in the law wants to justify himself and says this, who is my neighbour? And of course, Jesus then goes on to tell the parable of what we call the Good Samaritan. So the question for us is, are people who have mental health problems our neighbour? Are they our neighbours? And what should we do to love our neighbours with mental health problems? What could we do to love our neighbours with mental health problems? We should love our neighbours as ourselves. What does that mean for us today? And James writing says this, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. And he goes on then to give an example about how a rich man gets treated differently from a poor man. How do we treat people who have mental health problems? Do we treat them differently from those who don't? Do we discriminate? What is our attitudes to people with mental health problems? Is this a subject that matters to us? Dr. Martin Luther King once said, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Do we talk about these things enough? Do we consider them enough? Now, in our reading today, we read Psalm 42. And I've just pulled out some verses here from Psalm 42. My tears have been my food day and night. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? My soul is downcast within me. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? You see the picture. And this is not uncommon if you look through the book of Psalms. Quite a lot of Psalms have similar kinds of words in them, where the writers appear very, very down. If we looked at this now, would we say that they might be suffering from depression? And what about other things in the Bible that might point to perhaps people who've got problems with what today we would call mental health? Well, here's something from the book of Kings. And I'm sure you'll know the story of Elijah. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. We read through the Bible, there are other examples of people who appear to be depressed. I'd like to suggest this. Followers of God are not immune from mental health problems. We're just like everyone else. We can suffer from physical problems. We can also suffer from mental problems. We're not exempt in some kind of way because we're Christians. Now, also in Psalm 42 are these verses. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. That's the New International Version. The Living Bible translates it as, all your waves and billows have gone over me. On floods of sorrow pour upon me like a thundering cataract. The commentators seem to agree that the writer of the psalm here is picturing probably a waterfall where he's been or maybe where he is. and the water crashing down over the waterfall. And that's what the picture is here. And then commentators have quite a lot to say on this one verse and take differing views as to where you should focus and what the meaning might actually be. But here's one thought. One wave gives rise to another and another, just as one negative thought leads to another, pushing the writer down, a downward cycle. It's a picture of perhaps the writer actually being in the waterfall, and as the water crashes down on him, it pushes him under the water. And someone suggesting that it's like our thoughts. One negative thought can come crashing down and lead to another, a downward cycle. But others focus on this. The writer is in the depths, but God is there with him, calling to him. Where deep calls to deep, it's God calling to the writer in the depths where he is. So if we take both of those two things, first of all about our thoughts, and Paul writes this in Philippians, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Maybe we need to do more of that. To keep mentally healthy, maybe we need to do more thinking on the good and excellent things. When it comes to deep calls to deep, the psalmist also writes, when can I go to meet with God? Well, the answer is now. It's always now. Jesus says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God is always with us. In John's Gospel, Jesus says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. God is always with us. We can always call to God. And God is always there listening. So to recap, followers of God are not immune from mental health problems. We're just like everyone else, human beings. So let's try and think about the good things, as Paul says, and remember that Jesus is always with us. That's not a panacea for all mental health problems. Not at all. But it might help us to stay as healthy mentally as we can. Just because we do those things, it doesn't mean still that we're exempt in some way from having mental health problems. Things happen in life that we have no control over. And this could happen to us. And the question is then with our neighbours, what should we do to love our neighbours with mental health problems? And what could we do to love our neighbours with mental health problems? When it comes to thinking about that question, or those two questions, we can all pray. We all have some time. We all have some amount of money. And God has given all of us some gifts. If we think of those four things, What could we do? What should we do to love our neighbours with mental health problems? So what can you do practically? Well, if you feel that in any way that you might be suffering from mental health problems, the first thing to do is to get help. So at this website, mentalhealth.org, they have a number of free publications that you can download that may or may not be helpful. But speak to someone. You can speak to your GP. That's what they're there for. You can talk to someone, a friend. Talk to someone at church. Don't attempt to deal with the problem yourself. You know, if you fall down the stairs and break your leg, you don't sit there thinking, it's okay, I can sort this out myself. Sometimes we're very slow at asking for help. And particularly when it comes to mental health. And it's because of our attitudes to it. We think we shouldn't have the problem. We think we should always be healthy. We think we should be able to deal with it ourselves. But it's clearly not the case when you look at all the figures. Clearly, many of us cannot deal with it ourselves. So seek help if that might be you. And for all of us who feel that we are mentally healthy, let's try and keep that way. And let's think about our responsibilities to those who are not so fortunate.